what can wash? I said, what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now when that old devil tries to accuse you who have been made new in Jesus Christ, he can't do anything to you because the blood of Jesus covers you. And so when they look at you, they don't see you. He simply sees the blood that covers you. He has to back up because the blood that has never lost its power is now in your life. It can't be washed off. It can't be put away. It is something, a substance, a power that's never lost its blood, nor its power. When I come to this sacred place, oftentimes I tell you a little chemistry story. I tell you about water being H2O, how that God can take water, one part hydrogen and two parts oxygen, put it together and make a substance that we can drink. But apart, these are highly volatile elements and they burn up on their own. Only God could do something like that. We stand on this couple miles deep crust called planet Earth. Deep down in planet Earth, there is a molten liquid that is so many degrees hotter than where we are standing today. And in that, there is a magnetic field that a sun that stands millions of miles out in space can throw a flare. And God sets this magnetic force that repels this flare and we don't burn up. God has had mercy on us. And in the scriptures we find this. And you look way before you get to Ezekiel, the dry bones in the 36th chapter. He says these words to us. I'm coming to redeem the world back. And the people who have polluted the world back to myself. And he says in this to myself. And he says in the word, listen to this. He says, I'm not doing this for you. He says, I'm doing this for my great name's sake. He redeemed us because it was his world and it was no way for him to allow the devil to take his world. And so he says, I'm coming and I'm doing this myself. But don't be confused that I'm doing this for you, but I'm doing this for my great name's sake. And so we as humans become product of what God has done for the world. And so there is something that I need to give back. And we read in Psalms, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? And we come back to the 12th chapter of Romans. I present a body, a living sacrifice, which is holy and reasonable service to him. But the psalmist David, who failed God, and this is the power of the gospel. You can fall and get back up through the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody in this room have come short of the glory of God. But then he says these words, come unto me, all who are heavy laden and burdened down, and I'll give you rest. He comes to give us rest. And so the message must be perpetuated to the next generation and the next generation. And you in this room have become the men or who are on the cutting edge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have become the men of God who God is calling to tell the world that I can redeem you back to myself. But I'm looking for a witness. I'm looking for somebody down here that will, amen, say yes to the will of the Lord. And I see in the text this morning, the summary, if you look at it, we see this crazy love that Francis Chan, as the board had agreed on to pick up this crazy love. It's been a revealed thing, a revealed word to all of us. The topic here that God gave me is this: best to love. Seek the words of our Lord after the best of life. If you want to be a champion in the Lord, you must first be a servant to each other. For there is truly a horizontal relationship we have with Him. But there is a vertical relationship we have with each other. And God is calling us to be a light to a lost and dying world. He's calling us to be tough in Him. And He's given us every tool by way to be tough in Him. He does not want you to fail. He does not want me to fail. But if for some reason the enemy would come and attack you or your child, God said, I've given them power to tread on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. And if you were just to understand, nothing by any means will hurt you if you trust in this Lord who has come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. In this summary, the Lord says, tell the young men and tell the senior elders, we all must first consider this on our way in pursuing the one who sent peace in our life. And he pulls up the word of God and he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6 and verse 33, the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In seeking after the Lord, we made preparation like He has made preparation. Now listen, I've been stripped personally. I've been wounded personally. And I've been left for dead. And I have seen those who have been, said they were my friends, they passed me by. I have been broken in this life, hurt, maimed, and lame. And some of those close relatives, they passed me by. But I want you to know something, that God always has a ram in the bush. And so the Lord allowed me to see the great banquet. He allowed me to see men who were transparent. He allowed me to see men who were broken and hurt just like I was. It doesn't matter what the sin was. It doesn't matter what the brokenness was. All we need to know is that we were broken, and the Lord Himself sent men on the horizontal level to put us back together again. If there's ever a time we needed a voice in America, if there's ever a time we needed holiness voice in our community, this is the hour. This is your time. Cease your time. Cease your moment. Walk in the newness of life that God has prepared for you. Say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Say yes. Uh-oh. Say yes. I'm going to do it. There are six words in John the 14th chapter where he says this: I go away to prepare a place for you. Then he goes on and says, and where I am, ye may be also. For in my Father's house are many mansions. He's gone to prepare us a mansion. Noah had an ark that was made of gopher wood that was pitched in and out that it would float on water. God has sent us in the New Testament the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost comes inside out. And so he pitches us inside out with the presence of his Holy Spirit, that we would be able to float on top of all this mess, and that we would become the lighthouse. The thing that I love about the lighthouse, he told me this to the young pastors in the room who see people come and see them go. He said these words to me about the lighthouse. You are responsible not for the ship that passed in the night, but you are responsible to have the light on. And so when you are wounded by people who come and go, God is saying, I'm telling you to make sure you have the light on. That is your responsibility, to keep the light on. The responsibility of Huddle is to keep the light on. The responsibility of Huddle is to make sure that we are seeking after the things of God. People are seeking after everything except the things of God. And you are the last main source of people who are men who have decided to make Jesus their choice. Say, I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say, I know that my Savior, he lives. And because he lives, and because he lives, I can make it now. Say, I know him in the power of his resurrection. Say, I know him for myself. I know him. He delivered me. I know him. He came in my life. Say, I know him. I know him. Say, I know him. He didn't come to rest on my shoulder. He didn't come to sit on my head, but he came to live in me. And because of the resurrected Jesus, the empty cross, he sent the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and he lives in me. He lives in me. And every now and then, I might cry, and nobody has done anything to me. every now and then I may run and nobody's chasing me. But I know this one thing, that I'm not running by myself. Jesus is running with me. As I turn this thing loose this morning, he tells me this in this word here, to seek him. And what it means, it means to turn to him first for help, to fill your thoughts with his desire, to take his character for your pattern, and to serve and obey him in everything. What is really important to you, people, objects, goals, and other desires all compete for priority in your life. And any of these can quickly bump God out of first place if you don't actively choose to give him first place in every area of your life. Older men and elders in the room, tell your sons to first seek after God. Tell your sons that it's not just to find him and to become churchy, but it is more of a lifestyle that will impact them for the rest of their life. Young man, if you seek God, he will tell you if that girl is the right one for you. If you seek God first, he will direct you in the career that you ought to go in. If you seek him first, he will direct your footsteps. And I got something to say here this morning. There are people in the room who are wealthy. Do not apologize because you have money. Do not apologize because you have financial means. Because God has allowed you to have these financial means that you might bless your family and bless somebody else. If you don't believe that, ask this morning Jesus Christ, who had all the wealth in the world, but he came down here and gave all of it back to us because he first loved us. Don't apologize that God has given you money. And for those of you who are working in the vineyard and seem like things are not going the way you feel they should, hold on to a God who cares about you and wait with him. And listen, the storm will pass over. It won't last always. You're in a season now. You're breaking down now. But hold on to a hand who won't change on you. Hold on to a God who won't leave you. There are those in the room who are trying to make a decision on whether or not to serve God. I would like to tell you now that if you serve God, he will serve you. If you walk with God, he will walk with you. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah. Hey. Make some noise in here. Let me to know I'm in the right place, doing the right thing with the right people. God won't leave you by yourself. Do I have a witness? God won't leave you by yourself. Have you ever had an incurable sickness, maybe even a cancer, and you stood strong in the things of God, and now you're reciprocating? Check this out. The man on the road, which I was, beat down, left by myself. The Samaritan comes and he restores him. That one who had cancer, that God has restored. Have you ever noticed how other people, other brothers who come with the cancer, that now you're ministering to them and helping them to overcome their shortness? Listen, if you're in the room today, Jesus Christ is looking for some men who will stand tall in the things of God. There were some failures there in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that God made heroes. He made them heroes. Moses says, I can't talk. And so God sends his brother. There were lady there who had a problem with prostitution. Rachel is the name. And so God had mercy on her. There are people who have failed miserably, but God has anointed them. And He has taken them through. Some of you have failed miserably, but God has restored you. Don't look back to the misery, but look to the glory. Don't look back on the failure, but embrace your faith. There is one thing for sure. Jesus Christ will never leave you, and He won't forsake you. He'll be with you even till the end of your existence. That's all right. One of our brothers have gone on to be with the Lord, and the Lord said, please tell them this to remind them. One of our attorney friends, Mike Bollinger, he stood in fourth stage cancer on this platform. And he said these words to us. I took pictures out and albums out of my family. And I was so busy making money and taking care of my family that I'm absent in all these pictures. So we have to have a balance. Brother Mike was telling us, older men sharing the gospel with younger men, and older men recognizing the fact that their family is the greatest investment that is before them. Get up. This is the third thing he says to me. Get up from the mistake and embrace the mercy that I have given you. Let us pray. Father, there are questions being asked today. Do you recognize the foolishness of seeking your own fulfillment outside of Christ? Do you understand that it is impossible to please God in any way other than wholehearted service? The question is being asked, do you grasp the beauty and deep, amen, joy of walking in the genuine intimacy with God? The questions are being asked, and we all say, yes, we recognize. But Lord, we need you today to help us to complete the journey that you have placed us on. Help these men in the room understand that they have assignments, and sometimes the assignments change, and sometimes they have to move on to something else. Help them not to be hurt by the new assignment or what you are doing to move them. Nobody told me about it, Lord, and I felt bad. But now that you have revealed it to me, I revealed it to other men, that God is the one that places us on assignment and not us place our own self on assignment. For we become workmen to Him, and we're in His hands. And Lord, since we're in your hands, you told us that no man could pluck us from your hands. And for this, Lord, we give you praise. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, sealed in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, Lord, help us to go forth and seek your face in all that you tell us to do. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.